My story is about wonder. It's about adventure. And it is extraordinary. Why it's extraordinary? Because my mother is the first woman in this whole entire world to birth 21 children by my dad. 17 of us living today, 63 grandchildren, and 87 great-grandchildren.
I'm Veronique.
And I'm Sylvia.
Welcome to the High Vibes in the Mind podcast,
where multicultural moms connect.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the show. So today we have a guest. His name is Paul Lamar Hunter. And he's the 19th of 21 natural children born to James and Louise Hunter. His childhood experiences include poverty, neglect, and tragedy, but a determined spirit and unshakable faith lifted Paul to earn a degree in business administration. Father to four adult children, Paul wrote his autobiography titled No Love, No Charity, The Success of the 19th Child. The book earned attention by Ebony Magazine, and he has appeared on several television shows, and now he's in-house. Let's talk to Paul and find out more about his unusual family circumstances. Hi, Paul. How are you today?
I'm blessed to share my story on your podcast because I know that viewers are going to get hope, and they are going to be inspired by my great story.
Yes, I hope so. And that's all I wish for. And I'm sure they will, because you have a great story, a very great story. And we're here to listen to it. So first of all, I have to say, so you have 20 siblings, right?
Yes.
20 brother and sister. You're part of a family of 21. And so can you tell us, you know, how it is to grow up? So many brother and sisters around you, because my family were a lot of people too, but not that many. So how well, did you manage?
Let me say this about my story, because I have to get the viewers going. My story is about wonder. It's about adventure. And it is extraordinary. Why it's extraordinary? Because my mother is the first woman in this whole entire world to birth 21 children by my dad. 17 of us living today, 63 grandchildren, and 87 great-grandchildren.
Jesus.
And I must say that it is important to know that we are strong, we came out healthy, and guess what? We are absolutely beautiful as well.
And that's true. Well, so obviously, your mother, she deserves a big award, seriously. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I don't know any other woman who did that. I don't remember seeing anywhere in the news. Sometimes you see, you know, like in other countries, Africa or India, you know, they have those women, they have a lot of babies, but I don't think I never heard anybody have 21 children. That's for sure. I had a question like, so how did they get you ready in the morning to go to school? All of you guys.
First of all, let me say this. The Hunter family household was ran like a military camp.
Okay.
My dad worked two jobs. My mother worked a part-time job. But it was important that my mother and my older siblings get the young ones up early and get us prepared for school. Yeah. That was the most important thing, getting us up and making sure that we are prepared for school. We ate before we left, but most importantly, before we left, my mother used to always pray for us. We would get in a circle and she would ask God to protect her children while we were away at school. And I thank God for that, because I was able to duplicate the same thing when I was raising my children, to pray with my children before they left out of that home. Because I learned the power of prayer and what it can do into people's lives. So I thank God and I thank my mother for just allowing me to see her grow as a person and what was important to her in her life. So the Hunter family, like I said, it was ran like a military camp. I do not have any regrets with the good times and also with the bad times. Whatever life threw at the Hunter family, we dealt with the cards, but we kept moving and we stayed motivated and we knew that our purpose is always bigger than our circumstances.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, definitely. You need, I think for sure you need a lot of faith and believe in God, you know, when you have a big family like that, because nothing can just rely on your on yourself. You need help. And you need help from the person upstairs, definitely. I cannot believe your mom had a job.
Yes, he had a part-time. Yes, he had a part-time job. Hey, you, when you have a village to feed, you got to do what you have to do.
I know, but it's already a lot of work to take care of. Even though the little ones are, and she was still going to work. This is a powerful woman. So you are the 90th child in the family, right? So
I am the 19th child out of 21 children.
Out of 21. Okay.
Yes.
So do you think that you've also been raised by your other siblings? Because, for example, my grandma, she had 9 children. And I already thought there was already a lot, okay? And my mom, compared to my her younger sister, there's a big age gap. And so she had to help, you know, raise her also. And I saw that. So I'm sure, you know, you all helping each other. Were you raised also by one of your brother or sister?
I was raised by my parents and also by my older brothers and sisters. They had to make sure that we got off that bus and they brought us home. They had prepared dinner for us. They did homework with us. They taught us. So if it wasn't for my older siblings, I wouldn't be here speaking to you, sharing my story, because they played an instrumental role of who I am today. And I really appreciate them.
Yeah, I'm sure. So you all get along?
We all get along. 21. Except my baby sister, because my baby sister used to always say, because we, you know, when you kids, you always get into trouble. We running around the house. And so my older siblings had to, you know, hit us on the butt and tell us to stop. And my oldest, my younger baby sister, she used to say, when we get big, we going to get them back. Paul, Elsie, we're going to get them back. And so I'm like, get them back. Yeah, we're going to beat them up. The way they spanked us, we're going to get them back. And so as we got older and stuff, and I remember my baby sister, Sean, said, it's time now, because we all grown now. We got to beat them up like they used to beat us up. And I was like, I'm not doing that. We deserve that whooping, you know? But she wanted to get back at my older siblings. And I'm like, no, they old now. We can't do that.
She could hold a grudge.
She was holding on to a grudge.
She remembered everything. She remembered all the whooping she got. So she's like, I'm going to get them back.
I'm going to get them back.
So everybody's getting, I cannot even imagine Thanksgiving or Christmas. Do you all get together?
Let me say this.
I love big family.
Thanksgiving was some of the greatest time in my life, because my mom was born in Vicksburg, Mississippi. My father was born in Fayetteville, Mississippi. So my mom and dad knew how to cook. They really knew how to cook. And let me say this. There were times when we didn't have no food, but guess what?
Yeah.
People in the community knocked on the door and left turkey, left ham, left so much food a day before Thanksgiving so that my mom and dad can cook and prepare. Because I was born in 1970, so the community was totally different. We were together. We played mm-hmm. outside with the kids. We yeah. knew each other on the block. You know, we communicated with each other. So the community always looked out for the Hunter family and made sure that we had food on our table.
I'm sure you were very famous on the block.
Oh, most definitely. And no one never messed with us because we were the biggest family in the city of Racine, Wisconsin. So the no clan. One, yeah, we, you know, we were a big, huge clan family. No, nobody messed with us because they knew if they fight one, they have to fight all.
It's so good to be part of a big family. So you're talking about the community. I was going to ask you, did you have any family around that could help, like from maybe your dad's side or your mom's side?
We have family around in the city of Racine, Wisconsin. So okay. we did have some family. But like I said, the community back then was totally different. We were all in. We were mm-hmm. all together. We all helped each other. You know, mm-hmm. I remember a time we were low on sugar. And my mom said, go across the street and ask Mrs. Jones, can she give us some sugar? Knocked on the door, Mrs. Jones said, how much y'all need? How much sugar y'all need? You know, I can't do that today. If I'm out of something, you think I can go to my neighbor and say, hey, I'm out of some sugar. I'm out of some flour. Can I have some? Because I'm cooking this.
I think it depends where you live. It depends where you live. Because where I lived before, so I'm in California. Where I lived before, it was more like a building, you know, wasn't really that friendly. Sorry, but now we move in a cul-de-sac. So everybody, you know, everybody see each other and everybody knows each other. So I think I can go and knock on the door and ask for some flour or some sugar. But I think it depends where you live. But before, now, I would have never done that. I don't think I would have. They are doing that. But yeah, mentality change. You know, people are not. I mean, when somebody knock at the door, I'm like, who's that? You know, you're scared. You're like, somebody's at my door. You know, you don't expect anybody to come at your house or anybody without being announced or texting you before, calling you.
So, yep.
We are weird now. We're scared of everything. Wasn't like that before. So you went to college. That's something big in your story. Okay. Can you tell us about that? Because I know it's something you're really proud of.
I am absolutely delighted to talk about this extraordinary story of how I became the first out of 20 siblings to graduate from college. It all started when I was working for Chrysler Engine Plant in 2010, and they decided to close operation and move to Mexico. So I decided to look at my mom lineage, my father lineage, and what I discovered is that no one graduated from college. They attended college, but they never graduated from college. So I decided to take it upon myself to make history in the Hunter family. So in 2012, I graduated from Upper Iowa University with a Bachelor's of Science in Business Administration. So I made history in the Hunter family twice, because 3 months after graduation, I came out with my book, No Love, No Charity, The Success of the 19th Child. So let me say this. Mm-hmm. I came from the inner city. I came from the projects. I came from the hood. And I want every man and woman that might be thinking that they cannot do it. I am Paul Lamar Hunter. And I'm telling you, you can chase your dreams. You can chase your success. And when you come from the inner city or the hood, there's only one direction you can go when you walk into that university, and that's up.
Yes. That's up, baby. For sure.
Yes.
Can only go up. Yes. I was going to ask you about the book, No Love, No Charity. I think it's a very heartbreaking title. So No Love, No Charity. So it's because I'm sure you had love in your family. No, I understand the no charity. You don't want any charity. You want to work for yourself. Why the no love?
Well, I tell you what. No love, no charity. Mm-hmm. It came from my mother starting a homeless shelter. My mother, she started the first homeless shelter in the city of Racine, Wisconsin. So that shelter was love and charity. Homeless shelter in the city of Racine. So I titled my book, No Love, No Charity, The Success of the 19 Child. See, my mother used to disperse love out to men and women, but it was very difficult for her to disperse love out to her own children. The reason why is because you got to get to the root of the problem. My mother was born in Vicksburg, Mississippi.
Yeah.
She grew up in the Jim Crow era. She experienced segregation. She experienced physical violence from the KKK. So it traumatized her as a child. So I tell people today that my mother could not give what she didn't have. So she's not perfect. I'm a parent myself, and I'm not perfect. There are some things that I'm lacking, but that's okay. But I'm here and I'm working on it. And that's the most important thing that I can do as a human being is work on my weaknesses. So I love my mother to death. I love my father. But I tell people all the time, they weren't perfect. But they were the perfect couple that God put together, because my mother birthed 21 children by my dad. And that's a lot. And it takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of love. It takes a lot of courage. It takes vision to raise those children. And I pat myself on the back because I have four children myself. Just imagine me having 21 children.
No.
I can't do it.
I don't mean anybody.
So I have the most respect for my mother because she endured a lot. She really had. And I respect her to this day.
You know what they say? They did the best with what they had, right? So,
yes.
I mean, we all are issues with our parents. I have some, you know, some stuff also with my mom, you know, back in the day. So I was born in France. So I know, so I was born in France. We don't have the same history, you know, as Black people. But, you know, I also suffered, you know, in France also you can meet racism and stuff like that. You know, you have to go through stuff. But she did the best with what she had, and it's not that bad because, you know, right now I'm okay. So
what I really want to say to people, they need to go out and get my book. No Love, No Charity, The Success of the 19 Child. This book is available at Barnes & Noble's bookstore, Amazon.com. Also, they can go out and purchase my mother's book, Love and Charity, The Life Story of Louise Hunter in the Love and Charity Homeless Shelter. This book was written by Dr. Dennis James Woods, one of the greatest authors in this world.
Okay, so you wrote a book on your mother, so on her life or just on the fact that she created that homeless shelter?
The book was written by Dr. James Woods. It was about my mother's life and also how she created the first homeless shelter in the state of Wisconsin. Let me say this. My book and my mother book has been combined together into a screenplay. So the screenplay has been completed. Also, we signed a deal with Tailflix, and they are in the process of finding different characters that would play my mother, play my siblings, and also play me as well. So I am thrilled that Tailflix had signed me on as an executive producer as well. So in the next couple of years, you might be taking your husband or your boyfriend or some of your friends out to the movie. And you can tell them, hey, I interviewed this guy. Let's watch this movie. And you're going to enjoy the movie. I can tell you that right now.
Congratulations. I'm very happy for you. Yeah, you know, anything can happen, right? If you work hard at it.
Anything is possible. And that's what I tell young people today. Anything is possible. You know,
it's like a dream.
It is like a dream. And that's why I'm encouraging people today. Stop looking at your circumstances and start looking at your purpose. Because when you start looking at your circumstances, depression set in, anxiety set in. But when you start looking at your purpose, joy start coming in, peace start coming in, happiness start coming in, vision start coming in, you know, excitement start happening. And you be over thrilled because you know that your purpose is always bigger than your circumstances.
So what do you do every day to be that pump? Because that's not just coming from your circumstances. Do you do, like, I don't know, like, do you have a visual board? Do you do meditation? Do you, talk to anybody in the street? What do you do?
Just drink coffee? I don't drink coffee, but I'm just excited. I'm just excited about life. And I know where I have been. And so I know that in the past, I had low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you this today. I used to thought that I was ugly. I was unattractive. People used to talk about my big eyes, my big lips. But guess what, baby? They trying to get big lips now. Women love my lips. You understand? And so I had to look myself in the mirror and I began to build myself up and say that I'm beautiful. I'm gorgeous. I'm unique. And I remember my mama had told me that you are unique. And I looked that word up in the dictionary and it means one of a kind. And my mama had said to me, God would never duplicate another person like you. And that's when the lights came on for me because I'm unique. I continue to build myself up because that's what it takes. If David said, if nobody encouraged you, you encourage yourself. And that's what I do.
Okay. So it just, do you think you're like an example for your sibling then? Because if you're are you the only one who went to college or maybe after the, other sibling went to college? Because you can go back to school at any time.
Yeah. Some of my siblings went to college, but they never completed it. So I was the first one to complete college. But listen here, it's never too late because when I went back, I went back to college at the age of 40. I graduated with a bachelor's degree. You know what I'm saying? At the age of 42. So it's never too late, young people. It's never too late for you to chase your dreams. It's never too late for you to go after success.
Yeah. Yeah. We talk about it also with my colleague Sylvia in a podcast about that, going back to school, after a certain age. And remember, I was saying, I went back to school also later in life. And one of my aunts was like, aren't you too old to go back to school? So you shouldn't listen. It's true. You shouldn't listen to people, who are not at your level sometimes because you want to go up, you want to do something. And some people would try to, keep you down.
Yeah, so, they want to keep you at their level. They don't they don't see what God has given you. Mm-hmm. For example, I write down my goals every year on December 31st. I write down my goals. And I was just telling this lady this. I said, ever since I graduated college in 27, I started doing this, write down my goals. And I said, one of my goals was to be in Ebony Magazine. It happened twice where they profiled my study. So I told her I wanted to be profiled in Essence Magazine. And I told her 2 weeks ago, I said, do you know what? Essence Magazine reached out to me. And I said, I had to go back and look at my goals for 2012. It was in there. It was in there. But what I'm trying to say is, it's not about my timing. It's about God's timing. He knows when your story needs to come to the forefront. Yeah. And you got to learn to be patient.
So what do you do now? So because I know you're a public speaker, right? You do a lot of speaking.
I do a lot. I do some public speaking. Also, I go around doing podcasts as well. I have my business on the side where I do public relation work as well. But 2024, I'm going to be out there campaigning, talking about the importance of education, also talking about child support, letting people know that child support is fraud, that child support is not law. And I'm going to just be out there just sharing my story of success and some of the things that I had experienced with child support and letting people know that it is not law. It is not law whatsoever. And they need to educate themselves. And I want men and women to know that child support is a federal program and it is not mandatory whatsoever. So what they're doing is a lot of those attorneys and prosecutors, I have to say this, and the fake judges, they are taking advantage of people's ignorance. That's what they're doing.
Okay. And yeah, I don't know anything about child support, so I couldn't. Yeah,
that's the reason why it says in the Bible that my people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the guy that's going to tell them, I know the truth and I'm going to disperse the truth out.
Okay. So that's a little bit of politics for you then, next year then, right?
Next year. Next year is very important for me.
Okay. And are you working? I'm sorry, I'm going back to the book and the movie. So are you working with the producer? They're just going to write the screenplay on their own, or do you have an impact?
No, the screenplay is already completed.
It's written.
The screenplay been completed. Right
now
they
just put the two together.
Yep, they already put the two screenplays together. They merged it together. We just in the process of getting different characters to play, to play my siblings, to play my dad, to play my mother. So basically, and also to play me. So basically, they already know who would be a great fit for my mother, for me, for some of my siblings, and also for my dad. So you have to negotiate with these actors and actresses as well. So we're just hoping that everybody comes on board, get a piece of the pie, and then they start filming. My mom passed away 3 years ago, but she was excited about what had happened, what I was able to do.
Okay.
And so she was excited. I wish that she was here, but things had changed for us. And I think that when it happened, my mom would be very, very happy that we were able to tell a story about the Hunter family and what we've been through, the trials and tribulation, and that we were able to give people hope, joy, and happiness once they see this movie.
Well, the legacy is going to stay alive. You know, all the work you're doing, the legacy is here, definitely. And with 21 children anyway, the legacy is not going anywhere.
No.
And 87 grandchildren, you said?
Oh my God. It's 63 grandchildren and 87 great-grandchildren.
Great-grandchildren.
Yes.
Woo.
So that's a huge lineage right there.
Yes, definitely. Wow, I'm very impressed. Well, do you want to add anything else? Maybe I forgot something, because I really want to talk about the book and the screenplay and the fact that you're, you know, a public speaker and you want to encourage people, you know, to do what they want to do. Anything else you want to add?
Yes. I want to talk about leadership. Because young people need to know the importance of leadership. And I want to let young people know that leadership is not about control. It is truly about service. True leadership is not about power. Mm-hmm. It's about empowerment. True leadership is not about manipulation. It's about inspiration.
Yeah.
So young people, my job is to inspire you to the highest level of true leadership. True leaders don't manipulate.
Mm-hmm.
True leaders just don't manipulate. They inspire people, and true leadership is really not about people, but it is about purpose. That's what it's about.
Well, this is beautiful. I think we can just end this. I really like it, you know, about purpose. Because some people, you know, they cannot handle power. But what you said is really powerful, and I really like it. Then thank you, Paul, for coming. Thank you for interviewing you. You're going to be very famous in 2 years, you said. So I'm going to, you know, repost that video in 2 years and say, remember? Interviewing too. Maybe you come back, we'll see.
Yes,
but thank you very much for your time. I know it's almost like 5:30 maybe where you are, so
yes.
Don't want to keep you, you know, too much for what you have to do. And well, good luck for everything, and happy 2024. It looks like you're going to be very busy in 2024. So
hey, thank you for having me on. People, go to my website, paullamarhunter.com. Paul lamarhunter.com. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to High Vibes and the Mic. Until next time, laugh hard, stay silly, and never forget to bring your sense of humor. Please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.